You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1. Hard-hitting analysis.
You think you're cool and tough from Toronto, and you roll into a gritty bar in Porcupine Plains?
You won't walk out. They'll carry you
fully pretzeled out of there.
Sure, I guess you could call it that.
Just for fun.
They will stick your toes into your underpants in a full pretzel. And you'll reverse lobster out of there.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
I don't want to go full police mode, but we have to find the lady that threw the chair onto the gardener.
Oh, my God.
I don't even know what kind of punishment there is for that, but
that's a serious offense.
Well, let's have some perspective here. Our boy Ken Pagan, the whole country was on shutdown looking for him.
Yeah.
When someone threw a beer can onto the field of play.
Yeah. At an Orioles outfielder. Or not even. It was just kind of in the area.
It was thrown into left field. Right. It was stupid. We've all acknowledged it. Ken Pagan has paid a serious price.
Right.
But the mayor was involved. The Toronto Sun was willing to pay.
The popcorn vendors. The peanut vendors.
Everybody.
Yeah.
The whole city was on shutdown. Where is the beer-throwing lunatic?
Yeah. This girl.
It should be times 1,000.
She's getting the gate.
There's some videos that are blocking out her face. It's like, why? Somebody knows her. Like, somebody has seen that video on social media and knows her.
Oh, of course. Somebody took the video. Like, if you're not aware of this, because not everybody's on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook all day.
This is trending seriously.
Oh, it's a massive story. Yeah. Some idiot who I assume she lives in the condo down by the gardener, and I don't know what side of the city it was on, but it was the lake shore and the gardener. We're all familiar with it. Everyone knows it. And she must have been 20 floors up.
Yeah.
20, 25 floors
more,
up.
More.
And she throws a chair off the balcony.
Off, like onto the road down below.
Landing on the lake shore. And as far as we know, no one hit it or it didn't land on a roof and everyone's
okay.
Yeah, but
can you imagine what the other end of it would be? Imagine strolling to work and you take the...
Well, you're dead.
But what
you
if
take
it goes
a chair
through,
off the head, you're dead.
Takes a chair off the head or goes through a windshield and causes a 10-car pileup.
Yeah.
That person's an idiot.
Oh, it's dumb. I can't even think of what the explanation would be because it looked like it was this morning. Now, maybe it was at some point.
They said it was Saturday at 10 a.m.
Okay, so what are you doing at 10 a.m.?
You're hungover.
It was not 10 a.m. for her. That was the end of probably a banger. Where you partied all night and you just got home and
explanation for it. But honestly, Ken Pagan, the military was getting called in.
Yeah, exactly.
Where is this guy? We're breaking down the Zapruder film. We're breaking it down like pixel by pixel. Let's find out who threw a beer can onto the field. I would like to believe the mayor will be speaking on this. You know, we're going to have the same type of hysteria, hysterical reaction to someone throwing a chair onto the lake shore.
We should call Kenny. Talk about the experience.
No, he said, I don't think he wants to anymore.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I don't know if Ken Pagan wants to get into that.
I think he wants to move on from it, but still, like the perspective of it, you're right. I didn't even think about the Ken Pagan thought process.
Oh, that was the biggest witch hunt of, like, it was front page of the papers. It's like, we gotta find it.
There was a bounty issued. I believe Sun Media issued a bounty. If you can find this guy, we'll pay you money. I'm pretty sure that happened. And sure enough, the guy, Ken Pagan, worked for Post Media.
Yeah.
So it's like, how about you look internally?
Didn't go so well, yeah.
But I remember the mayor speaking on that. And it was national news, international news, because of the moment. I mean, it was a wild card game. Everyone in the sports world was focused on it. Some guy throws a beer can onto the field of play when there's a pop up to left. I understand the reaction. And Andrew Jones got involved. And they were, the Orioles, remember Buck Showalter came out. He walked all the way out to left field and was like, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah.
It was a big story because of the moment and because of the platform at the Rogers Center. But
a chair on
the lakeshore is crazy.
It's a serious offense. And I hope that she pays a price for it. Like, I hope that
they're going to find this woman eventually.
I know, but she's going to come out and have the excuses and, this and that. Like, she should have to pay a serious price for it, not a fine or anything. Like, this is because it's a scenario. Yes, maybe somebody didn't get hurt this time. Like, what if, though? That's and I know you can't live in the what if.
I know, but that could have been a 10-car pileup.
It's... It's idiot. I believe that's Kristen Shilton's building.
I just had that brought to my attention that Kristen tweeted this out a couple of hours ago. Yeah. This happened at my building. I walk out the front door where these chairs landed every single day. So this was at her building. That is wild.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, and you know what? Like, we all have done stupid things or pranks and all of that, but this is, like, that's a serious offense.
Yeah. That's a really serious offense that could have gone so much worse. And this woman or this girl is really, really lucky
that
it didn't.
There has been some weird things, though. Wasn't it a girl that climbed the
crane? Girl. Yeah, crane girl was one of the stranger stories of the past decade in Toronto.
How she got up there is beyond me.
I think she was charged and stuff. Like,
oh, yeah, I mean, like, absolutely, because it was trespassing. And then, you know, the city had to pay a lot of money because it shut down. It was at, like, you know, Yonge and Dundas or around there.
Yeah.
So, like, the core of downtown had to be shut down, and they had to call in all the, you know, the paramedics emergency response and firefighters.
Got in one. She was in one.
Yeah,
she was. Yeah, Crane Girl was having a pretty good night.
But that's my point, is I feel like, you know, we'll hear, the girl will get caught, somebody's going to identify this, the chair thrower, and then, you know, it's the excuse train is going to come out.
Of course.
That's the thing. Like, she's not, like, if she thinks that this is just funny, and somebody is going to rat her out, like, with social media and...
Well, exactly. I would assume somebody already has by posting this. Like, who would post this video thinking, hey, this is going to get a reaction,
but I
this
think
will go
people
viral.
Thought it was funny.
Well, I guess so.
You know, you think it's... You're immature. Like I say, we've all done things. Like, I can't sit in, you know, an ivory tower and tell people I didn't do that. I live in a glass house. But I'm throwing a stone in this case because I think it's ridiculous. Like, that was, when I watched it, I think you retweeted it or somebody I follow retweeted it. I was like, what the hell is that? Like, I was kind of hoping that it maybe landed on some netting or something, you know, and like that went to follow that down
right down
kind
the lake
of like, there's anxiety watching that chair go down.
Yeah, it was wild. Anyway, we'll keep you updated on any of the developing stories and details, and if anything breaks between now and 7 with this idiot that threw the chair over the balcony, we'll let you know, because the whole city knows about it.
Yeah.
Well, Gurdeep, I would think CP24 would be all over this.
We'll call Gurdeep and find out.
Right. So we'll let you know what's going on there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of NBA news. We're getting into the Maple Leafs here in a moment, but I just saw this reported, Woj, Shams, they're all the big boys in the NBA world reporting that the NBA is looking into whether any contact took place between Ben Simmons and the Lakers that violated the NBA rules. So Ben Simmons, of course, a stud, first overall pick with the Sixers. You want to take a guess at who his agent is?
LeBron's?
Absolutely.
Yeah, same guy, yeah.
So the whole league is now on notice, or the Lakers should
was
be on
he
notice.
First overall, too?
Absolutely.
Two first overall picks?
Yeah, Ben Simmons was first overall. Well, the Sixers moved up to take Markelle Fultz. They traded. They were third, but they traded up to get that first pick. And Embiid went third.
Right.
But they've had some really high picks. But the Lakers, like, what a disaster of a season. Like, a complete disaster.
LeBron and Magic are starting to look like bozos.
Really look bad.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I didn't think it was possible for LeBron to look this
human. Petty, yeah.
Look like, this human, petty. You know? And, like, I think LeBron just assumed, I'm LeBron, and when I go to the Lakers, teaming up with Magic, we're going to get whoever we want.
Yeah. Anybody.
Anybody we want. And they clearly tried that with Anthony Davis in New Orleans, and New Orleans said, you know, not happening, man.
Pay a price.
We're not even going to talk to you. Yeah. Like, that's what it sounds like. They were like, go ahead, man. Keep offering his stuff, and then we're going to leak it, essentially to create more turmoil within your organization, but we're never going to take you seriously. We're not trading you, Anthony Davis. And now the league, something was tipped off. I would assume it was the Sixers.
Yeah.
Someone from Philly must have reached out and said, hey, something's going on here with Ben Simmons and Magic Johnson and LeBron and his agent, and they're all trying to filter people to L.A.
Yeah, you know, it's a slippery slope because agents do have a lot of power because they represent multiple people through the league. But I don't know if you can go back. Like, I don't think there's a scenario where you can, you know, trace emails and all that type of stuff. That's not the case, but it guaranteed, where there's smoke, there's fire.
Absolutely.
And that sounds to me like, okay, we missed out on this. We're heading in this direction. They've got their fingers on everything.
They're trying. Which, there's a part of me where if I was a Laker fan, I'd be disappointed that nothing's fallen, actually come to
fruition.
But you
know something's around the corner.
But you're like, these guys are trying everything. Yeah. They're breaking rules. They're tampering. And this feels like the league that knows that LeBron and Rich Paul are just dancing around the rules.
And I have a buddy.
I feel obligated to issue a statement and say something here.
I have a buddy who's a Clippers fan, and he seems to think that the Clippers are the ones that are going to land. I don't know why.
Kawhi and Durant.
Just to go up against LeBron. Like, basically go, nope, not coming to your spot. We're going to go in the same building against you.
That's what they're hoping for. You know, that's why their owner is taking the road trips. I mean, Steve Ballmer was in town last week when the Clippers were here. The owner of the team flew to Toronto.
And apparently they've cleaned out. They've cleaned out, like, cap room and that. They're ready to rock, like, two max contracts.
Well, and they cleared out. It all started with Bruce Bowen getting fired, because Bowen was a longtime Spur, obviously, and he was doing the radio broadcast for the Clippers, and they fired him because he was so critical of Kawhi Leonard and the way Kawhi left San Antonio. Like, I don't think they came out right and said, this is why you're fired, but everyone's connecting the dots.
Yeah.
That Bruce Bowen was too mean to Kawhi, so you got to go. And, yeah, that's a dangerous game as well.
That's a red flag, man.
It's a really dangerous game. Yeah. Like, I like what Nick Nurse said today, where Nurse was asked about Kawhi and his recent slumps. Like, you know, they still won on Saturday night against the Knicks, but Kawhi didn't play that well. And he's had a couple of down games shooting-wise.
He's had a little tough stretch.
I don't think he's been awful.
No.
But let's play this clip, because I don't know if this would have been said by Nurse 2 or 3 months ago when they were trying to get to know each other.
The courting process,
The courting process, try to make him feel at ease. Because at some point, you got Kawhi's a player, and you got to treat him like a player. And
you
got to
motivate the player.
You got to motivate the player. And if a message has to be sent, he's not immune to that, because he might leave in July. You can't just completely change the way you operate because of one guy. You can't do it. And here's what Nick Nurse had to say about Kawhi earlier today.
He's just got to get a little bit more engaged, right? Just a little bit more engaged and look for some more motivation, right? To go out there and do his thing. I always say, go out there and destroy some people or whatever it is. You know what I mean? You got to get motivated or.
Get bored destroying people.
A little bit. A little bit, and I think I'm kind of being serious about it. He needs to find a little bit of fire and so once in a while to go out there and say, you know what, I'm getting 35 or 40 tonight.
Yeah, he's right, because he's got that capability. Every once in a while, your best player in that sport has to say, I'm not letting this lose, like a quarterback.
Right.
I'm going to be exceptional tonight. I'm going off for 40. And Kawhi needs to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's done that at times this year, where he's been an assassin. But
I love the comment from the coach. A lot of times coaches are like, with that situation, with the speculation of him next year, they would never make that comment.
Yep.
I'm glad that he had the balls to say that.
Right.
Like, just.
But I think Kawhi would respect that, too. You'd hope, but players.
You imagine the comments that were made to us?
I know, but we're our own worst critics sometimes. We all know when we were garbage that night or allowed to made a bad play. And you get it. If you're in a tough stretch, I don't mind a coach trying to battle for you or prop you up. But there's times where, in a canon moment, like, this guy's got to be better. And there's nothing wrong with that. To me, it's a balance, because I think there's a lack of respect from a player to a coach if you know he's disingenuous.
Mm-hmm.
And seems to me Nurse wasn't being disingenuous.
I think it strengthens the relationship.
I
think that's just human nature. If you feel like you can run over a guy, you're never going to respect that guy.
You're never going to get exactly.
And I don't think that was running over anybody.
No, I think it's totally honest. And I guarantee you, he's told Kawhi face-to-face exactly what he's told the media here today. And Kawhi seems like that kind of guy. He'd be like, all right, I got you. Okay, let's go. And let's see what he's got tonight. Marc Gasol will make his home debut tonight with Brooklyn in town. You can hear that on TSN Radio. A couple of other news and notes when it comes to the Raptors. Fred VanVleet will be in a thumb splint for 3 weeks after suffering a partial ligament injury. So that's a pretty big injury. But Jeremy Lin is on his way. Lin's sanity is on its way to Toronto, because he will be bought out by Atlanta. And this is one of the big fish that we expected to be available, that we thought the Raptors would try to kick tires on. And I'm not sure when that timeline is going to play out, when Jeremy Lin will be up here, but now he's really going to be needed, because with DeLon Wright in Memphis and Fred out for the next 3 weeks, You need some depth at the point guard position.
Linsanity
coming to Toronto.
I'm trying to remember, like, was that 2 years ago?
Longer than that. It would have been three or four at least when he was with the Knicks. And he went on like a six-week run.
Yeah.
And that's all it was.
Yeah, it was like, you know, a guy who had just a good stretch.
Unbelievable stretch. Now, the fact that he's, you know, Asian,
well, yeah, there was,
of
there
Chinese
was more
descent.
To it. Yes.
Yeah, now he's an American. I don't know how many people realize that. Like, he's from California, but he is of Chinese descent.
Right.
And that made it significant because they just have
a
much bigger story because of the nature of the NBA. And it was New York and all that. But, you know, he's a good player, but you're not going to get that. Like, he was on a run that was, like, absurd.
Right.
Like, he was putting up numbers that were like, who is this guy? And the Knicks were winning games and... I don't think that Linsanity will be recaptured in Toronto, but he's going to get an opportunity to play.
Good for him.
So, there you go. You know, speaking of trying to prop up a bit of a mess,
It
felt like Babcock was doing that last night with the power play in particular. Because, you know, the Leafs, they played well last night. They played really well last night. Those games are going to happen.
Yeah.
Georgiev had, you know, a career night.
Yep.
And I heard you talking about it in the halls, and I totally agree. They didn't get 56 shots on him.
No.
It wasn't even close to 56. But still, it was a lot. It was 40
let's
plus.
Just say 48,
what I don't get
50.
Is, like, who in the building, what's their motivation to, like, to put more shots on net? Like, is it for the home goalie?
Yeah, I think there's probably a little bit of...
But don't they get exposed by the league?
Okay, so you guys know I'm good friends with Mike Kelly. Mike Kelly does a terrific job with, you know, Sport Logic and The Point and that. I think he tweeted out last night, he's like, yeah, we, you know, our whoever their shot counters had the Leafs at like 47, 48 shots. So there's a, you know, 8-shot swing. Like, that's, and to me, take a look at that. Say you played 35 home games as a starter in that building, and you got 3 or 4 extra shots a game. Like, that's, that really adds to your save percentage. You know what's moving forward, and I'm not taking a shot at Lundqvist. We know what Lundqvist is. He's been a great goalie for many years. But this is where the new shot tracking, the technology coming up, is going to even the playing field for every team.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have the same shot tracking data in Arizona, than New York, to Tampa, to, you know, to Pittsburgh.
Which in 2019 should be
right
accepted and
but that's what you're going to see things like. I think that it's going to correct some of those outliers because MSG is known within the analytics community. They call it rink effects. Like, they basically have to trim some of the numbers because it's so inflated there.
Yeah, and that happened last night. And it goes the opposite way, too, I find, with some home teams inflating the amount of shots that their team gets.
And the against keeping it down so it doesn't look bad sometimes.
Right, but I remember the game in San Jose. Remember when the Leafs played San Jose, and the building claimed that the Sharks had like 40-something shots. I remember coming in the next day saying, there's no way the Sharks had that.
We talked about that.
Yeah, I'm like, there's just no way. Like, we were all watching the game. It wasn't that crazy. And this was the opposite, where there's no way the Leafs had 56. They still had a ton of shots, and they played well. But, you know, look at their power play goes, what, 0 for 4 last night? 4 for 43 since December 20th.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they had some opportunities, and it doesn't matter.
Their power play going through the game this morning, but I actually thought it looked good.
Like, oh, it looked fine, but at some point you got to score.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, great,
execution.
You look good, but when are you actually going to score?
Yeah.
Because it's costing you some points now.
Execution is the one thing. Because early on, I think it came way too easily early on, and then it became way too predictable. So then teams adjusted to it. Recently, they've had some good looks. Now it's just a lack of execution. I mean, Matthews has a forehand one-timer on the back door, hits the side of the net. Tavares gets robbed on the back door. Georgiev has a career game last night. Left pad save. Like,
he played well.
He
Full
played
credit
well.
To him.
But,
yeah, he did.
But it is,
awesome.
Like you say, when push comes to shove and you want home ice advantage and you need critical points when other teams are picking them up around you, you know, moral victories aren't there.
No, they don't count.
That's what
against
it
the Rangers. And oh, you and I, we were talking about this morning, and someone has pointed this out to me when I was just, you know, buzzing around online last night.
Yeah.
That over 82 games, those type of outcomes are going to happen.
Correct.
You run into a wall, good for him, great. But that's why it kind of accentuates the mail-in games, the mail-in efforts that you just throw away, you burn through points.
Yes.
That's why those can't happen.
Right.
Because eventually the other, you know, you're going to get burned even more down the road because you're going to have nights where you do bring an effort. And the Leafs did bring a great effort last night. They just weren't going to beat that guy. They weren't going to find a way to get 2 points. So when you mail in a game against the Islanders at home or St. Louis at home.
They've had a couple where you're like, man.
And that's the difference between Toronto and Tampa. Tampa, there have been games they've lost and you're like, man, they had 43 shots and it happens. They don't mail in games. Like, they just don't.
Or they find a way to win where their goalie's been out to lunch, but they win 6-5 in overtime.
Right.
And it's crept up on us. It's the time of year where there's not too many more mail-ins available.
There's some. Well, because, you know, if you
like
take a look.
It's getting to March. Like, we're.
Well.
Yeah.
And
we're under 30 games.
But look at the scores. You're seeing more tighter games. Like, everything's going to overtime or it's in the last minute. I mean, Winnipeg. That was 1-1 till 4 minutes and 5 seconds left in the game yesterday. Like, a lot of games aren't blowouts anymore. There's a lot of tight games. Teams are fighting for points. You've seen those 3-point games now.
Well, and that was Saturday night, right? Where that game deserved to go to overtime.
It was
like, that's
a
rare scenario where, like, both teams deserve something out of this game, because, you know, there was a lot of hype and we were promoting it heavily on this program and on this
station.
I thought it exceeded expectations. I thought that game Saturday night was maybe the most entertaining game of the year. Exceptional hockey, exceptional 5-on-5. Both power plays, an abomination.
Yeah.
Like, the Habs have a worse power play, if you can believe it, than the Leafs.
But they've done that all year.
I know that. But their 4-minute power play in the first period, that might have been the worst power play I've ever seen in my life. It was an abomination.
Yeah, there was.
If either power play showed up, the game ends in regulation. But 5-on-5,
it
was a great game Saturday night. A great game.
The thing is Montreal, they worked their ass off. Like, you can tell that they, and I think Claude Julien's done a great job there too. Like, that team plays with a lot of structure. Like, the Leafs really had to work for a lot of their opportunities. Like, there wasn't a lot of, the one thing I noticed especially is Montreal really works hard to get back. So there's not a lot of free ice coming through the middle. They did a great job, but the Leafs, you know, when you compare the two teams on paper, like, the Leafs have the higher end talent,
and that's what won it.
That's
ultimately.
That's ultimately what wins it.
Yeah, that OT win is a perfect example of that.
But then, like I say, if you come in with a 75% work ethic against Montreal, they beat you.
They do,
because they work their ass off, and the goalie can equalize too.
It's a fun game. Really fun
game
Saturday night. So the Leafs are off to Colorado tomorrow. Vegas on Thursday. The three of us were going to be in the building on Thursday night. We're off to Vegas on Wednesday. We're looking forward to this. So we'll be kind of teasing some stuff we got in the works, and we're looking forward to getting down there. We are going to be on the air Thursday and Friday from Vegas, so we're doing shows down there. There's a big story in the NFL. We got to get into that. A big breaking story in the Jeff Bezos story. I don't know if you guys heard about this new wrinkle. You guys are familiar with Bezos.
Oh, yes. The most expensive divorce
National
in history.
No. The National Enquirer, like the...
The Spygate, almost, basically.
The picks and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the
sniffing around.
The
Well, he released a statement, basically, about his penis pick. Is that what we call it?
Yeah.
Okay.
The DP.
The DP. We'll just call
because
it.
Because Bezos had been, you know, hooking up with a mistress. He had a mistress for a while, and I think that basically led to the divorce.
Correct.
And National Enquirer has been pretty, they're the ones that broke the story. Then I guess they were trying to essentially, you know.
Kind of a little bit of like blackmail.
Yeah, it was blackmail. Basically, we have these picks that we've come across, and we're going to out them unless you...
Yes.
Lay off Trump, because there's the whole Trump connection.
He doubled down, though.
But then he went public and said, I don't care that you have the picks. I know that you're trying to blackmail me.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's this big, huge story. It's the richest guy in the world. The guy's got D-picks out there that the National Enquirer has access to.
And he doubled down on it and described it.
The source for the National Enquirer? The mistress's brother.
Oh.
So somehow the brother got in there, found the pics maybe on her phone.
And he's just looking for cash.
He's like, I can sell these in a heartbeat. The National Enquirer will pay me a lot of money.
Man, that's a wrinkle I didn't follow that one.
That is the most recent wrinkle that needs to be ironed out if you're Jeff Bezos. Because the belief was maybe it was Trump or it was the government.
Yeah.
That's what Bezos was kind of leaning towards.
Yeah, he was trying to alluding to that.
Now, brother Eddie.
There's only one factor in this. If Bezos has a sledgehammer, put them online.
Well, that's what people are wondering. If this guy is so sure of his own, you know,
exactly.
self-esteem, like, hey, he's like, forget it, man. I'll post them myself right on the front page of the Washington Post.
Yeah, I'll put it on my website, Bezos.com.
Now, if it's the opposite, he will see you at the Supreme Court if he has to.
He's worth, what, $100 billion?
I will take you all the way to the Supreme Court to make sure.
Down to 0 cents.
I will unload my checkbook to make sure
I will buy the internet.
Yeah, literally.
I will pay $40 million to have an investigator prove that's not mine.
That is, in fact, fake news.
Yes. That's right.
Ray's coming up. Josh Lewenberg on the Raptors game tonight. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.
Yeah, those boys on tour, they know how to get around it when they don't want that Monday finish in, huh? They will zoom around that golf course.
At Pebble Beach yesterday?
Oh, yeah. It was like...
Wasn't Phil choked, though? I thought I saw Phil Mickelson.
No, he won.
But he wanted to keep going. Didn't they? Like, there was... They were going to shut it down. I thought I saw on the highlights they were going to shut it down. And he was like, we're going.
That's what O's saying. Yeah. Because if they shut it down, you got to come back and play on the Monday.
Next day. Yeah.
These guys, I mean, they'll do that for a major tournament. If you're in striking distance at Augusta... I'll wait till Wednesday to make sure I'm at 100%.
Me too.
But Pro-Am, early Feb, I've played Pebble Beach 500 times if you're Phil.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, let's move it along.
Let's move it along here. You know,
I have no idea for like the viewing audience why they show so many amateur shots for that. Like, I don't want to see Larry the Cable Guy.
I know.
I was slashing it around. I'm like, why would you want to put that on TV? Just show the pros.
We were watching it. Aaron and I were watching it, and she was watching Ray Romano be an idiot on one of the greens, like one of the flybys, and run after it and hit it back. And she was like, who's this guy? Are you allowed to do that?
Yeah.
I'm like, he's an amateur. And it's Ray Romano. And she's like, what? Like, why are they showing that guy? Like, literally, she had that exact same reaction. And as someone who isn't into golf, I would think she would be more interested in watching Ray Romano or, you know, Bill Murray do his goofy stuff. But she didn't even want to see that.
Any of it.
Yeah, Bill Murray. It's the same thing every year. We get it, Bill. You're in the bunker. It's funny stuff, man. But, you know, outside of Chris Berman with the Swaz, that one year, that's the only amateur I really need to see. Someone who's really having problems with the heat, but there was no heat this year, so it didn't matter.
That Berman, that is something else. Those clips will never, ever go away.
The worst Swass, I think, to ever hit the internet is Chris Berman. And it's documented now. Like, it's been archived. If we ever did a top 10 Swass at TSN, that would have to be number one.
It's probably number one.
Yeah. Like, an all-time Swass for the... For the boomer, for the swami.
That's really tough.
The NFL, big news today. The Browns, I called this, man. I told you, Kareem Hunt will get another gig. I didn't think it was going to happen this quickly.
Oh, there's outrage on Twitter. It's like, Cap, can't get a gig.
That was the immediate, you knew that was coming. Kaepernick's a distraction, but this guy's not a distraction. Everything comes back to Kaepernick, which I understand, but we all know that Kaepernick... They've treated him differently. I believe he's been pushed out of the league. But Kareem Hunt got cut late in the season by Kansas City. The video came out, TMZ. He got into a scuffle with a woman at a hotel, I believe, in Cleveland. But he's got other allegations, you know, that he's been in bar fights and all this kind of stuff. But you knew this was coming. Regardless of how you feel about it, you knew it was coming because he's too good and he's too young.
Yeah.
And I think what the Browns have... concluded here.
Man, those would have been some tough... Jamie's been in those boardrooms to say, like, you know, somebody floats that out there. You guys want to bring this guy in? For someone to pull the trigger and be, like, check the box, yes? Or check the box, yes? That's...
That goes up
the chain. You got a spicy meatball on your hands, regardless.
I guarantee you, ownership's involved, the PR team is involved to see... Okay, how big of a backlash do you think this is going to be? What are we going to do for damage control? What are we, you know, like, because this is a scenario where it is a spicy meatball, regardless, because what it does, you're not even looking at the player. You're looking at the scenario, the situation.
The PR blitz.
But what they did is weighed it out and said, we'll deal with the backlash. We got a young player here.
And well, that's my read on the situation. There's a couple of things I take out of it. One, the timeline. It's this early into the offseason will allow, I'm sure the Browns are hoping, will allow some of the smoke to settle when training camp opens in July and August. So you get it out of the way now. It's a down period in the NFL. You deal with a couple of days of blitzes where people are going to take runs at you, and right a lot of people are. He's also still in the commissioner's exempt list, so he's going to be suspended. That's why the timing of this, I'm surprised the NFL would allow it. You know, you mentioned you go up the chain. I would think someone would call Goodell's office and say, like, should we sign him now or should we wait until your investigation is over? Because as far as I know, the league is still investigating for whatever that's worth into what actually happened with Hunt and how they're going to handle this in the future.
Well, let me ask you this. You think there were multiple teams in on him?
Yes.
Absolutely.
So that's why.
I do. You're
like,
right.
We, you know, like, there may have been a buzz in saying, like, there's multiple teams in on this scenario. Regardless of what comes down, we want him under contract. Because if he gets six games or eight, if he gets half a season, you still have him for the other half.
Mm-hmm. And this is an all-pro running back.
They made a business decision.
Mm-hmm.
And
they're willing to deal with the backlash.
The morality of it, that's a different story.
Well, and I think that's another part of this calculated risk, that the front office in Cleveland has come to the conclusion that there may not be another fan base in the league more willing to drop their moral code for wins and success than the Cleveland Browns, because they've been so bad for so long.
You think that?
I would think, let's say you're a really well-run, successful team.
Starving for victories over the moral compass, just screw it?
As bad as that sounds, I think it's reality in a lot of ways.
But I think there's a lot of
fans yell and scream, and then when the guy's on their team, they're like, nah, he might be able to rush for 1,200 yards and 10 touchdowns. Yeah. Now that I think about it, you know, that's kind of, we all yell and scream until it's in our backyard. And the Browns, you know, they're so desperate for success. Because you'd have to consider how your fan base is going to react.
Well,
right? Like, you'd have to take that into consideration.
You think Cleveland Overdrive right now is open the phone lines? And
probably.
What
this would be the biggest story in Cleveland.
Where
for
are
sure.
we at right now with this? Are you happy? Like, the guaranteed the polls are like, you know, is this good?
Yeah.
Are you outraged? Or, I mean, to me, it is a polarizing story, not only just for that city situational, but it's, if you're an NFL fan, it is. But I think it's the timing of it is peculiar, but guaranteed they've done their research and said, okay, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah, well, and they've issued statements, and Kareem Hunt has issued a statement, and you know they better know every single skeleton in the closet, because if something else pops up,
yeah, that's something.
You know, then
you look like idiots.
You look like
the Cleveland Browns again, and you're
exactly
it's a mess.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, some news, breaking news this hour: Fred VanVleet has some ligament damage in his thumb. He's out for 3 weeks, and Jeremy Lin is going to be signed by the Raptors. He'll be bought out by Atlanta, and he'll be signing up here. So it makes, you know, that signing even more significant, because he's going to step in and play. He'll back up Lowry. But we were talking about Lin's sanity earlier. That was 7 years ago. That was back in 2012. So credit to Jeremy Lin, where he really, you know, it really popped for him, and he became like an overnight sensation.
Right.
But he's still in the league, and he's still a legitimate player who can actually, you know, bring something to the table. So, you know, what this means for the Raptors going forward, we'll find out. But I do think it means something symbolically, because they've never really been in on the buyout market. You know, generally speaking, in the past, players want to go to the team that can win the most. So right. Golden State's always getting freebies, or whoever LeBron plays for prior to this year.
Yeah.
Or they want to go somewhere where maybe it's a big market, they're going to play a lot of minutes, maybe they can make the most money. And the Raptors really couldn't guarantee any of that, and they still found a way to sign this guy. So I think it's a big moment for them. And again, we'll get you more of a timeline on when Jeremy Lin is actually going to go through the paperwork and when he's actually going to be a Raptor. It won't be tonight. Raptors at home against Brooklyn. Marc Gasol making his debut. You can hear that game right here on TSN 1050. Ray Ferraro coming up just after 5. Randy Carlyle finally out in Anaheim.
I don't know how. I don't know. I think as the general manager, you wait that long and fire him then. It's like, wow, great job. Like, it's over. Like, you waited too long.
I
would have fired him, too.
Yeah, I wonder if the owners, like, the owners released, I don't know if you're reading that, the owners released a statement yesterday. Like, I wonder if like Bob Murray said to him, like, I want to stand pat. And they were like, listen, you fire him and you're next. And like, there's got to be something. You know
they
what
just
I mean?
Gave him a 2-year extension like a month ago.
I mean,
and this
who,
guy,
Bob Murray,
everybody talks about him. You talk to anybody in this building or whatever. Oh, this guy's a great, like, hockey mind. He evaluates talent.
Yeah.
He put the mess together. So why is he still sniffing
around? Well, they're going to have to. I mean, he's got to go down. Like, the weird thing is he hasn't coached in years. So
does he have any coaching experience?
I want to say, I'll have to check quickly. I thought he coached in like Chicago years ago or something like that.
Maybe, but Bob Murray behind the
he's
bench.
He's been a GM for, like, that'd be like Lou Lamoriello.
Right, and Lou has done that multiple times
but
in the past.
He coached in like Providence College, Lou, like a million years ago.
You know, it's not a good look when your GM is behind the bench. What do you really think is going to happen?
I think their assistants will run it, but he's got to see firsthand what kind of show he's running there. But it'd just be interesting to see what he does at the deadline. Because I'm not, if you're picking at a carcass, like I'm seeing if I can get Brandon Montour out of there. Or, you know, somebody like Fowler, who's 27, not having a great season. Like somebody where you'd probably want to keep and build around. Because they're going to try and move out older players. Well, you're not going to, it's not going to happen.
No, you're not. Like Ryan Kessler, you couldn't
move him right now.
Like,
well, you'd have to sweeten the pot. You'd go, I mean, it's not Clarkson like, but it's, hey, take the player in the contract and a second rounder or whatever it is.
You might have to eat some of the money too. Like, he's got a few years left at a decent take. Like, Kessler, he had a real bad injury and he looks like he needs an offseason.
Talking to people, and he can hardly walk.
I did the game the other day.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. Like, Ryan Kessler's had an unbelievable career. But if you feel like you could pry a vet out, it's Getzlaff who you're trying to pry out.
Yeah.
But he came out today and said, this is all I've ever known, and I'm not going anywhere. I don't want to go anywhere. And unless they tell me I have to, I'm not leaving Anaheim. So
he's going down with a ship.
Yeah, I guess so. Ray will join us just after 5. Dave Poulin later in the afternoon. Josh Lewenberg on Jeremy Lin coming to Toronto on the Van Fleet injury. Marc Gasol making his home debut tonight. We'll get back into the Leafs over the weekend as well. They go 1-1, winning in Montreal, losing in New York last night. You guys see that story out of Oshawa over the weekend where those deer were running around downtown and one deer literally ran right through the window of a restaurant?
I did see that, yes.
Like, Why would that shock you in Oshawa?
Yeah.
If it wasn't a deer, it'd be a human.
Yeah.
It'd be Larry Mullen.
Yeah, Larry Mullen and
Mark Mullen.
The Mullins got into a fist fight in their garage and were chasing each other around.
Mm-hmm. Oshawa is old school.
How many notes did you guys get sent over the weekend of city? Remember we were talking about cities where, you know, a bar, you don't even go in to the bar, like Porcupine Plains with Chaser and the crew.
I think Oshawa is a town where you know your lane. You don't go anywhere.
What did you say? You get your toes stuffed in your Fruit of Loom and
in your underpants and reverse lobster out the door.
There were some people sending me notes about cities I forgot about in like Alberta and BC.
Oshawa is top 10 for sure.
I think maybe that's what we have to do because the majority of our audience is in Ontario. Yeah. I mean, I can't speak to other cities and other provinces.
Maybe let's localize it like Ontario.
We should do that at some point this week.
Southern Ontario.
Well, Northern Ontario.
I feel like there's some place.
Oh, you
like,
already talked about it. Sudbury.
Yeah. Any northern part of the province, you're in trouble.
I've been to Dryden, Ontario. Now, that's more closer to Winnipeg. That's on the other side.
Right.
I would have to think you go to Timmins and you want to start causing problems.
You're at Sault Ste. Marie. Remember going to Sault Ste. Marie to play? Like, you drive into the city, you're like, this is not good.
Yeah.
That felt like you were going to Whistler. Remember when you were a kid, you're like, the Sioux.
Yeah. Well, it's like an 8-hour drive.
Yes. Yeah. Snow everywhere. You can't see. It's just like...
Disaster.
The rink was brutal, too. One of the worst rinks in the league.
Brutal. I told you. That's where the guy came in the room, like, so crippled drunk. And the coach is giving the post-game speech. He's like, Jeff, I'm your uncle. Like, no, you're not. Get the hell out of here. The guy was falling down. Like, just destroyed.
Just having a great night.
You remember his name?
The Sioux Greyhounds.
No, he's like, I'm your uncle. I'm like, no, you're not. I don't have an uncle here.
Yeah.
You are drunk as hell. No, get the hell out of the locker.
Well, that's another interesting...
And then you can understand the ribbing from the guys. No, it's your uncle.
Nice family tree.
Yeah.
Well, that's another conversation to be had. Like, you see some big, heavy drinking at, you know, Leaf games at Scotiabank.
Yeah.
But you go to like a Greyhounds game or a Wolves game on a Sudbury Saturday night.
Guelph Storm, there used to be in the old building, there was an old little, it was called the Loft. Where people just flooded in, right in like the upper deck, and it was like a bar where you get tickets and you get beer.
Mm-hmm. Just gooned.
I think you could blow darts in there at the time, too. It was in there, three quick ones, a couple darts, and out for the third.
Just to set the tone for the third.
Those old school little arena.
All the time. Peterborough. Just. You know, like there's all those little towns in Ontario. It's the same thing, you know, in the WHL and the Q, I would assume.
Yeah.
Like, that's the big night out. You know, we're going down to the hockey game. It's a big game.
And we're getting greased.
We're going to have ourselves a great time.
Oh.
Anyway. Yeah, we'll put that list together. We'll ask the people to contribute a little bit, like the toughest
we'll
town
ask
in Ontario.
Our, like, Dan O'Toole can talk about Peterborough. Tessa can talk about Sudbury.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've only got Toronto. I can't tell. Toronto's, there's some tough people in Toronto, but it's not like these towns.
No,
per capita, not even close.
That's another layer.
Not even close. All right, race coming up. We'll look back on the Leafs weekend with a big win in Montreal on Saturday, losing last night, although they played really well. And we'll tee up the rest of this trip in Colorado tomorrow night. Race coming up next.